I'm not planning too far ahead, but I wake up and I feel not like an old man, so that's a good sign already.
Hello and welcome to the AO Show from Tennis Australia. I'm James Parkinson. The summer of tennis is finally here as we look ahead to a new season and the 2019 Australian Open in January. On today's show, Leighton Hewitt gives us his thoughts on Australia's next generation of young players.
At the age of 19 and as hungry as he is, he's going to go and I think really deal with that pressure and try and embrace it as much as possible.
How data and analytics is being used at the Australian Open to assist player performance.
Explaining winning and losing like never before.
Plus, we'll go behind the scenes of brand new player facilities at Melbourne Park and hear from Oz Open Tournament Director Craig Tiley. But first up, Roger Federer has arrived in Australia ahead of the Hopman Cup in Perth, and we start with the defending Oz Open champion opening up about his off-season preparations.
I've been very happy how the off-season went. I had a great vacation to start off with, really just relaxing, spending time with the family, quality time, and maybe letting the body heal a little bit from a tough season, but one that actually I didn't have too many problems with the body, which has been actually more enjoyable because of that. And then the last 3.5-4 weeks have been very intense. I've been working as hard as I possibly could, to be quite honest. And I'm happy I got out of it injury-free and really happy and excited and motivated for this next season. So I'm actually very happy.
Every year we ask you and we hope that you'll be back to play here again.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. I'm not planning too far ahead just because, family comes first. And once that's fine, then it's a question about how is my motivation and how is my body. I need results and I need a happy body, if you like, because if I wake up hurt every day, then obviously that wouldn't be a lot of fun. But I wake up and I feel not like an old man, so that's a good sign already. And then we'll see, I have pretty much a schedule planned for the year, but not beyond that, just because I don't plan that far ahead, to be honest. So,
Roger, ahead of the Australian Open, obviously, Djokovic and Nadal and Zverev, they'll all be amongst the threats.
Yeah.
Is there anyone, a bit smaller who maybe hasn't hit their peak yet, isn't as well known to the, to the mainstream crowd, who you think could be a threat of the Australian Open?
Winning the whole, the whole event, you have to go with the guys and you just mentioned. I think they are definitely the favorites. There's guys that can do breakthrough, performances, like Tsitsipas or Shapovalov or Nick Khan and others, but probably if you're talking about who's probably going to win, it's probably one of the top 10 guys, And then, of course, you add Stan Wawrinka to it, you add Cilic to it, who played a great tournament here as well last year, and maybe like Dominic Thiem and, Kevin Anderson, the guys we know, the ones who've essentially been at the World Tour Finals, just in London a month ago. So, but the next gen is definitely, pushing through. Is it the time where they're going to win a slam? That'd be nice, but I hope I'm in the mix too, and we'll not allow that to happen anyway at this year's Australian Open.
Shifting focus to off the court now, and organising a Grand Slam event is no small feat. There's a huge team that works together to make it happen, but one person takes on a lot of that responsibility, and for the Australian Open, it's Craig Tiley, the tournament director. I spoke to Craig to learn more about that pressure that comes with the role and how AO 2019 is shaping up.
This has been an interesting year, this particular one, because there's been so much change in global tennis. We've been at the forefront of many of these changes, and that's not been a typical position of us down in Australia. There's been a general approach where kind of stay in your box a little bit, but we've been at the forefront of driving some of the changes, and that's created some disruptions which people haven't liked, but it's the right thing for the sport. So we've spent a lot of time on that. I don't think there's been a day that's gone past this year where I haven't been on an international conference. So from a personal point of view, it's been a big year.
You must feel, I guess, a little bit of pressure when there's, so much going on, and every year you're always trying to keep adding to the tournament and keep growing it.
I actually don't feel pressure. I get excited by that because it's the competitiveness in most of us that we're all competitive by nature and we want to be the best. I like the fact that we're down in Melbourne, far from the rest of the world, and we're trying to showcase the city and the state and this country to the rest of the world in the month of January, and feel really proud about it and not be shy about how great we are. Not in an egotistical way, but in just a way what we deliver for our fans and what we deliver for the players. And just the mere fact that we do have humility is one of our key core values, but it's just the way we approach our fans and the players with a service mindset.
What does your day-to-day look like during the tournament? What is it? What's an average day for you?
I actually don't think the day I have during the tournament is average at all. No, but because I wish it was average sometimes. It's crazy. I know it's crazy because when you get to the end of that like 4-week window, he is physically just absolutely exhausted. The day-to-day is just, it's problem-solving. And I love that because it's like, it's a big chessboard. And I like the competition of trying to solve the problems and bring more of them on so we can have a go at solving them. And also, you know, take the stress out by having the attitude is that you're not going to get it all right. You're going to make mistakes. But just own them and move on and correct it. So it's just, yeah, it's a day filled with problem solving. It's a day normally filled in the morning with media and a response the night before and assessing the day before and the night before, quickly planning for the next day, getting the schedule done for the following day. And then you think you get to 6 or 7 and it's the end of the day, but that's the beginning of the next day. And that goes until midnight, 1, 2, 3. But when I don't sleep on the couch anymore, so I go home.
What do you think makes the Australian Open special and unique? And why do people just love coming back every year?
The people make the difference. Our staff, particularly that are working at full time year round, the staff we bring in, they enthused about just offering service to every guest. And the first question they ask is, how can I help? And imagine going to a different country and the first question someone asks you, how can I help? How warm you'd feel and how great you'd feel about that person in that country. And we do that across the board. We can be a great example of how a country should respond to its guests, and our event can be a great example of how you treat people. So I'm proud of that approach, and I think that's our point of difference. You can't replicate that. The thing that you cannot replace is the great attitude of your people, and if you have that, you'll fly.
Well, it's an exciting time for Australian tennis fans with a new generation of young players emerging. Jonathan Hovenaars spoke to Leighton Hewitt for his thoughts on the storylines to watch for in January.
On a personal level, what are you most looking forward to about the Australian Open?
Well, there's so many stories that always go into the first Grand Slam of the year, and I think we're fortunate in Australia to have that opportunity. This year's going to be no different. We have a new number one in the men's side in Alex Dimonar, who gets the opportunity to go out there and most likely be seeded for the first time at a major. To think that he was outside 200 this time a year ago, and now he's going to be pushing on the top 30 in the world is quite extraordinary. So he's going to come in with a lot of pressure and expectation on his shoulders, but at the age of 19 and as hungry as he is that go out there and keep improving and has a lot of success, then he's going to go and I think really deal with that pressure and try and embrace it as much as possible. Johnny Millman obviously coming off his US Open as well, which is exciting. He beat Roger Federer and his last win in a Grand Slam match. So he's a guy to watch out for, especially over 5 sets, and both those boys are going to love playing in front of the Australian crowd. For me, obviously being a commentator with Channel 9 for the first time as well, it's going to be slightly different and there's going to be new innovations that they're going to bring to the commentary team as well that I'm really looking forward to, and obviously getting in the comm box again with the great Jim Courier.
The AO, often referred to as the Happy Slam. Why do players love competing here?
Players love the Australian Open and purely because the players get looked after so well. Everything's so close to the tournament side as well. The hotels, great restaurants, everything's so accessible to the city and where they're staying. So that makes it a lot more relaxed for the players to prepare and obviously conserve their energy and keep the stress levels down. But I think it's kind of a carnival atmosphere out there as well, not only at Grand Slam Oval where there's a lot of music and partying going on for the fans and spectators, but also around the outside courts. There's a lot of atmosphere out there that the players really draw a lot of energy from.
Who are you predicting will be some of the main contenders for the singles titles?
Well, right now it's hard to go past Novak Djokovic. He's got himself back to world number one. He's got to be the main threat going into the men's singles for the Australian Open 2019. Rafael Nadal, how bad is his knee injury and how he's going to bounce back from withdrawing from a couple of tournaments towards the end of the year as well. And we can't write off Roger Federer. Yes, he is another year older, but he comes back as the two-time defending champion. And what he's done here, especially the last couple of years, he's going to draw a lot of positive energy and a lot of confidence going out there, and especially if he plays primetime matches under the lights in Rod Laver Arena. Some of the younger guys, Alexander Zverev, just won his biggest tournament in the Tour Finals finals in London. He's going to come with a lot of confidence, but he hasn't quite got over the mountain yet, especially in Grand Slams and over five sets. But he does have Ivan Lendl now, one of the best coaches in the world, in his corner.
And any thoughts on the women's draw as well?
It's going to be a tough one. In terms of topping off the final last year as well, that was one of the best female matches I think we've seen at Rod Laver Arena. In terms of Caroline Wozniacki winning her first Grand Slam title against Simona Halep, who has now gone on as also the world number one, but she won her first at the French Open. So both those girls are going to be really tough to beat. Ash Barty's going to be in with a very good chance. She'll be hopefully looking to try and push towards the second week of a slam as well.
Yes, the Oz Open is certainly a favourite tournament for many of the players, and a big part of that is the experiences and facilities at Melbourne Park, but also the people behind the scenes that make it all happen. I spoke to three members of the player services team about their important role here and what's new for the players this season. So I'm here with three members of the player services team.
Monique, player relations manager.
Deb, player relations coordinator.
Matt, player relations assistant.
So first of all, what is player services? What do you guys do during the Open?
So player services encompasses all of the areas that the players have an interaction with. We have quiet room attendance, which is an area just for players to go in and relax prior to matches. We have a gift suite, which provides amazing arrays of gifts for the players. This year, we've actually targeted Victorian produce. So we're actually going to be putting together a Victorian produce hamper, which is showcasing the best of Victorian products. Apart from gifts, some of the services that we provide is a player barber. We provide a beauty bar where both men and women can actually go and get beauty treatments, whether it's facials, massages, haircuts, hair colouring, nails. We take care of everything. We also do a number of activations for the players. One of the favourites every year is we bring live zoo animals on site. All the players come. It's a favourite to actually get their photos taken with Australian animals, including koalas, wallabies. It's always a hit with players.
Getting a bit jealous. It sounds like the players are really well looked after here, guys. So many things on offer, and it's almost like a mini city in itself, Melbourne Park, the precinct. There's everything that the players need here, anything they could want while they're on site, you know, preparing for their matches and training and all that's involved in being a professional player. New this year is the player pod. What's new in there? What can the players experience and what can they get out of that?
Level three, we've got our player cafe, and we've also got themed restaurants as well. So we've got a Japanese restaurant. We've also got our main cafe area. We've also got a Melbourne themed cafe as well. Also pushing up onto level four, we've got our new rooftop terrace. So that's going to be an exciting space for our players. They're going to be able to sit out on the balcony.
Maybe wave to some of the fans down below as well.
Yeah, and that's what it's about. It's getting the players closer to the fans as well, that fan experience.
Monique, I'm aware that Mr. Roger Federer quite recently at the Laver Cup had some nice words to say about yourself, something about being an MVP.
That was actually really quite a big surprise. And honestly, I had completely forgotten about that and really, really appreciated it. Obviously, not expected at all.
Monique is in her role. She looks after the players, and that is her primary role during the Open. So she's got great relationships with them. I think between the three of us, we cover off everything that's required. But in terms of the key relationships, Monique's definitely great at what she does. And they always look forward to the warm welcome from her, welcoming them back to Melbourne Park.
Well, thanks, guys, for your time today. Really appreciate it. And all the best for a fantastic 2019 Australian Open.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, data and analytics are a big part of modern sports, not just for what players and coaches can learn about performance, but there's also a lot for the fans to take in too. And I spoke with Mark Reed from the Game Insight Group about the latest developments in tennis and what we can expect to see in 2019.
Hi, I'm Mark Reed from Tennis Australia. My role's Head of Innovation.
So what is the Game Insight Group and what does it do?
The Game Insight Group's an initiative to reimagine tennis through the use of data and analytics, with a specific focus on on-court performance, if you like. So explaining winning and losing like never before.
Analytics and data is, you know, such an important part of professional sports these days. How does tennis fit into that landscape?
So not so long ago, we were rated the second worst professional sport on the planet in terms of our use of analytics to explain on-court performance. And needless to say, when fans, coaches, and even players at times look to the types of statistics we use to describe what a player is brilliant at, those stats, for the most part, haven't shifted in 30 years. So that's something that the Game Insight Group's really focusing in on.
What advantages does data provide the players specifically?
Depends on the format of the data. So one thing that we're consciously trying to make an effort to do is begin to share some insights with fans, players, and coaches around the technical domain, the tactical domain, the physical domain, and then mentally. So traditionally, stats in tennis have focused on match statistics. First serve winning percentage, second serve winning percentage, number of first serves I might get in. So not particularly informative. So in many respects, what we're trying to do is do a little bit more of a deeper dive into those different areas of performance.
So if you are one of those hardcore, passionate tennis fans, what kind of data is there that you can really sink your teeth into and follow the game in a lot of detail?
We're able to weight every single point in the match to provide a fan a better insight as to who performs better under pressure. And again, traditionally, that hasn't been available to the fan. From a physical point of view, be it an insight into how fast someone moves, how effective they are at changing direction. Essentially, we're looking at ways to describe the strengths and areas of improvements of different players. So how can we distill their physical performance into numbers? For example, four or five different physical measures that then feed up into an overall physical rating for, again, a Rafa Nadal, perhaps, versus a Marin Cilic.
Across sports, a lot of people can be very dismissive of data and analytics, and they think it doesn't really matter, it's just numbers. Why does data matter, and what makes you so passionate about it?
I love tennis. I like to know more about what makes Roger Federer brilliant or Serena Williams so remarkable. I come from a coaching background, right? So needless to say, that's one of the tools that you can use to help assist your athlete get better. The way in which I think most coaches look to data, it's complementary. It's not the only tool in your toolkit. So in many respects, what becomes all important for data or to maximise data is context. And that's what becomes all important and what we try and add to the game.
And that's it for today's show. A reminder that we'll be going daily for the 2019 Australian Open starting January 14. But until then, we'll bring you weekly editions for all the build-up. Catch you next week.